What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the entire internet. You have your two favorite hosts in the entire world. Pending hurricane slash tornado winds, my name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey, and it is a windy night for a podcast.
It absolutely is.
And where Carmen lives. And on Saturday, we had the tornadoes here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was working. I worked 12 and a half hours.
In the tornado.
I was inside, but yes. Where I was specifically never got the touchdown, but it did touch down in the Chattanooga area.
Mm.
Luckily, where I was, it was just horrendous storms.
Speaking of Chattanooga, John Stewart's monologue from last night, he referenced the Chattanooga choo-choo in his
hilarious
in his monologue.
What did he have to say about it?
It was in the middle. I'll have to send it to you. It's just so funny. I'd be grateful if he could just run for president. That might be nice.
Let me tell you, I know people on the other side of the aisle who also like him because he's really come to this part of just kind of dismantling all the bullshit, regardless on what side it's on.
Yeah.
Which I am here for. So he might be the one to unite us all.
So,
do you
know how
want her in office?
Yeah. you know how I have something that I want to say, but it's pretty out there. It's a little bit shocking, a little bit jarring. And at first, I might not give any context. Do you think this is a safe space to just say what I want to say?
I feel like you're about to be like, I like milkshakes. Like, this is what you do. You set up the most mundane opinion. Like, it is going to be a hot
topic. This is like a Patreon level story that I think I want to give to the public for free.
Okay. Do it. No paywalls.
All right. If you're at all squeamish, are you eating a brownie?
Yeah, I'm eating a brownie.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Edge piece.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is just an edge piece. If you're a little bit squeamish and don't want scary stories, not about like ghosts, but like this is going to be a little bit graphic.
Let me tell you guys, Carmen does not like ghosts.
No, I do not. I do not fucks with a ghost. All right, so here's what I got. No context at first. So I jacked off in public the other day.
You've just set off my home alarm. Apparently.
So there's people. This is an actual story. Okay, but hold on. Let me just rephrase. See, now I'm bringing it back in. It wasn't public in the sense that it was a semen analysis bank, where they test to make sure you're fertile.
I see. So you did a fertility test.
I did a fertility test. It's much more jarring to see.
I didn't really know where to go with it. I was like, were you going to say that you, like, for work, like, jacked off a cow to help a cow get pregnant or something?
Oh, that would have been funny. Yeah,
and then you set off my alarm with your story. So
yeah.
I was, like, trying to figure out why the alarm was going off.
Yeah. No, So Jess and I are obviously trying. Hasn't happened yet. No reasons for the alarms to go off, but it was one of those things where the doctor's like, hey, let's just rule it out. Make sure everything's good.
A proactive medical professional.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of times they're like, oh, if you've been trying for less than a year, don't even come talk to us.
Yeah.
We're at like,
it's very frustrating.
Yeah. So we're at like 6 months and the doctor's like, I'm not worried, but let's just get ahead of this. And I was like, okay, cool. So Jess went the other day, her levels are all normal. I went, so I don't know if my levels are normal yet, but hopefully they are. But like, I've never done anything like this before. Let me just tell you, I hated every second of this. I hated, they walk you, you have to look these people in the eye.
Yeah, it's like, everyone knows what you're doing.
Yeah. So I go into this room, and it is just four walls, a sink, a TV, and a recliner leather chair. And a table with the cups.
I hate this so much.
I'm not going to get super graphic into this, guys, but let me just tell you, I did not like it. It was isolated and cold and alone.
So many questions that will be for not on the air.
I just hated it. I will give you the full in-depth story off air. There's just like... There's nothing wrong with it.
It's necessary and good and helpful that Metathys exists.
No,
it's
for sure.
Like, it's jarring.
And like, the lady at the to call, and they only have appointments from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. So like,
so
I had
you're
to
starting your day. Huh?
I'm like, I'm starting my day jacked off. You know what I'm talking about? So it is just the worst. So yeah, I go in and I like have to talk to these people who are at the reception area, and then I go down the hallway and the lady's like, go ahead and when you produce the specimen, there'll be a cup in there for you to take. They're all sterile. Fill out the form and bring the specimen back to this area over here, and we'll give you a form and we'll have you sign it over to us. When the collection process is complete, feel free to, you know, wash your hands and they'll check you out at the front. And I'm like, this is just, I hate the word specimen. I hate collection, sample.
Did you try and make jokes or did you just let it be?
No, I was so uncomfortable. I was like,
okay, I'm glad. I just like feared that you were trying to, you're like, I'm going to make this more bearable.
No. To me, like I didn't. No, there was not a single second that I was happy. I sat, even doing the deed of producing the sample for collection.
The specimen.
I was sitting there and the whole time I'm like, it's just so sad. I'm just like, nothing is enjoyable.
What day was this?
Tuesday.
Yeah.
So 2 days ago. Yesterday. This was yesterday.
Yesterday, as of right now. Oh, what a time to be alive.
I will allow you follow up questions and I will give you the more in depth version. I'm going to tell you exactly what it looked like. I'm kidding. I'm not. But yeah, you were allowed to ask me questions. You were allowed to ask me follow up questions on everyone's mind.
Me specifically.
You specifically.
Or just the public in general.
Well, I guess, you know.
I don't want emails about this. You guys can message Carmen.
Everyone, email Kelsey and ask her questions. Everyone. No, it'll be, you can ask me two questions and then we'll move on to actual Grays talk.
I don't have questions appropriate for the podcast. My questions are off air questions.
Like what?
I can't tell you right now.
Oh. You know, the worst part about it, I'm not going to say, never mind. It's all the worst part. It'll all be worth it as long as they say that everything is good.
Yeah. It reminds me of Friends when Monica and Chandler do it and Janice is there.
Mm. Yes, that's funny.
Have you been on the Discord in a minute? Like, or this afternoon?
No, I have not.
There was a conversation about the Post-it. We're always coming back to the Post-it. We have to shout out our new Patreon, Aaron.
Hell yeah, Aaron. Welcome.
And she had posted that of all the issues that specifically Meredith and Derek have, why is the Post-it, why do you get so hung up on it? And she does not think it's stupid. Olivia was like, basically also said that it bothers her that it's not like a legal document. So there was some back and forth about it. And then I just think it's funny that it seems divisive, because for the majority of people, it is like a very iconic Grey's symbol, conceptually. But you really couldn't get over it for a while.
I don't know. It just, it felt like a Derek cop-out. Like, it's not real commitment.
See, I disagree, because, and what I said was, well, first I put a giant chunk of this brownie in my mouth. But I said that I think it makes sense specifically with Meredith's background, like her childhood and like coming from a quote unquote broken home. I think it's nice that she gets to kind of do her own happily ever after. And then I also liked that she was in that moment panicking, and she's like, there's never going to be time to do this. And he was like, so let's just do it now our way. And so I just felt like it was kind of a moment of him understanding her and problem solving in a positive way. And also like the context of everything else that was happening. Izzy was dying. George was dying, but they didn't know it. They just thought he was joining the army.
Right.
So I don't mind it. I actually recognize why for them it's important. I don't think just every person who wants to get married should just write a post-it. I just think it's important in their relationship, and it makes sense.
Well, that's great. I love that for you. I love that for those who I love that for those who love it. I just didn't like that. I didn't love that storyline.
You just kept saying they weren't married.
They were posted married.
Yeah.
But they weren't like, you know, courthouse legal document married.
But does that matter?
To someone named me.
Someone named you. Okay. Okay, shall we start then?
I think we shall.
Okay. This episode is the 19th episode of the 8th season. It is episode 167 overall. It is called Support System, and that is a song.
Support System is a song off of the album Whip Smart by Liz Phair, and it was released September 20th, 1994, from Eidful Music Corporation in Chicago, Illinois. And it was the second album by Liz Phair. So the song itself did not chart, but the album debuted at number 27 on the Billboard 200, and the album got gold status. So that's pretty impressive. Good job, Liz Phair. All right. So charts, like I said, debuted at number 27 on the Billboard 200. That is the highest that it reached. It debuted and peaked there. The singles off of that album, Supernova and Whip Smart, both did pretty well. Supernova hit number 78 in the Billboard Hot 100. So
she had another song in like the early 2000s that I believe was used in some kind of rom-com, because I don't know why else I would know it. And it was like, are you ready to be my everything? I don't know what it was from, though.
I don't know either, but I'll need to look into that for sure. But she's a Chicago. She's from the Chicago area. Born in Connecticut, raised in Chicago. So the song was just okay. I'm going to give it objectively a 3, subjectively a 2. It did not make it to my podcast burp. It did not make it to my iTunes library. So,
well, you should listen to this other song. It's delightful.
I will definitely listen. What's interesting, so I looked into the rest of like her just in general. The debut album that she put out in 93, Exile in Guyville, is actually ranked as one of the 500 greatest albums of all time by Rolling Stone. So,
oh, wow. Good for her.
I'm wondering if that's the one that has the the song on it. Let me see if I can find the. What do you think the name of the song was?
Everything to Me. It's from her fifth album.
Oh, okay.
Looked it up. Yeah, but I can't find what it was on. Someone's yelling. Someone knows what rom-com or show it was on. Because
there's a song on her first album called "Fucking Run."
Oh, good for her.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So with that being said. We have Grey's content now. It's not just, listen, you don't come to the Grey's Anatomy podcast just to hear about masturbation and
Liz Phair
songs. Yeah, and Liz Phair. And to be fair, that's still a great conversation.
I was going to say, are you going to finish the sentence or did you just
I always finish my sentences.
But you don't always enjoy it.
Don't always enjoy
it. Neither do the rest of us. Okay. This episode was written by Heather Mitchell, directed by Alice and Liddy Brown, aired April 12th, 2012, to 8.85 million views.
Ooh.
Yeah. And the synopsis on this one is
Owen sucks.
Christina makes Owen tell her about the intimate details of his affair. Other things happen, but yes, that also occurred. Spoiler alert, I think this episode is really good, which is weird to say because it's a bummer of an episode to watch, but I think they do it really well. And so I looked up if this, because obviously we know the director, she's directed a lot of episodes, but this writer this is the only episode she wrote for Grey's ever. So I thought that was interesting because I thought like that she did a really great job with it. So I was kind of surprised that she hadn't written before and didn't write any more after. But the director is a Shondaland staple. So I thought they were a good team for
who,
this one.
Who wrote the episode again? Sorry.
Her name is Heather Mitchell.
Heather Mitchell.
Yeah.
Is Heather Mitchell an actor? Actress in Shondaland?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
It would have been funny if Heather played the girl Owen cheated on Christina with.
Yes. But she was a producer on Scandal.
Oh, okay.
And she also was still a writer for Scandal as well.
Okay.
But this is the only Grey's episode that she ever wrote.
Got it. Okay.
So, yeah. But I thought, because a lot of times when it's a really like good episode, you have as someone who like knows the characters really well and has been around for a long time and has like repeatedly worked with the cast and crew before. So I think it speaks to her knowledge of the show and also her talent that the episode was, in my opinion, as good as it was.
Yeah, it was a good episode. I think for me, when I'm watching episodes that have like these flashback kind of montage-y feels, it's not always cohesive. This one, the first like two times was a bit jarring. They opened the episode with this montage though to kind of set the tone.
Right.
I wish there was. There's an episode of Psych that I'm not going to spoil the contents of the episode for when Kelsey and I do the Psych podcast together. But there's an episode where Sean makes something that happens and there's like you're kind of hitting a rewind button and you're seeing things in reverse. Mm-hmm. So yeah. It's very clear like, oh, you're about to go into the upside down. The what if universe.
That was one of my issues with it is I like a lot of times when you do the flashback type episodes, they'll have something like that or it's like sepia toned or like the lighting is a little different or like they'll make it grainy or they'll say like 2 years ago or whatever. So I did find there were just when like they were flashing back to the trauma coming in. And that woman coming in, I was like, that to me, I was like, okay, I know this is part of the flashback, but I don't think they're making that clear from the beginning of it. Like, you don't really realize that until the woman walks in. So, and then obviously, like, with him in the bar, it makes more sense because it's a different setting. But in the hospital, I'm like, you have to establish that this is a different time, because that's where it gets a little convoluted a little, I think. But other than that, I think the flashbacks, like the combination of the flashback that's him telling her the story and the combination of the flashbacks of like their relationship, I liked the way they did that. I just think I kind of agree that I wish there had been some kind of further separation of that from the like current story.
Yeah, especially because the past story and the current story, especially around Christina and Owen, could not be more different. So there were some times where I had to I was looking for it. Anytime I saw Owen in a scene, I had to like give myself 5 to 10 seconds to be like, okay, is this past or is this present? But I think the thing that helped once I sat and watched this episode is all of the present episodes were all of the present scenes took place in their apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. All of the right now episodes are just the two of them hashing it out.
Yeah.
Or the right now moments rather.
Yeah.
Everything else was a flashback or a memory or whatever, him telling her about the affair. So we'll just talk about this first. So Christina and Owen take the day off, which is obviously unheard of, mainly for Christina, to stay at home and have their relationship crisis. And
quote unquote, the flu.
Yeah. So it's a bummer. She wants Owen to tell her the details. And he is like, doesn't want to, but ends up doing it. But it's hard to watch. Your prediction was it was someone random. But it was like immediately after the abortion. And this is right after they go to therapy the one day and then quit, apparently, because they weren't immediately healed.
Well, they're so fine, remember?
Right.
Yeah.
We're fine. So this was... So they were still not in a good place. But it was more recent than you had originally thought.
Yes. So I wish that they would have established just how recent it was.
Yeah.
Like, if there was a scene where they could have gone back to where this lady actually was in the hospital somewhere, like another episode, they could have planted her somewhere. That would have been like mind blowing level. M. Night Shyamalan level plot twist. But yeah, it starts. It's like very intense. It starts out. Owen is doing a thing I think that a lot of, I don't want to overgeneralize and say things that men do when they do things wrong, is they expect the woman to just get over it right away. Mm-hmm. But he's like, doesn't want to help her with the coping. He doesn't want to walk her through it. At one point she says, don't say my name. And I'm like, yes, girl, don't say my name.
Yeah, and it also really bothers me when she's like, I have a right to know, and he's like, no, you don't. And I'm like, well, then don't do it. Like, I don't know, man.
Also,
what
keep
did
it
you
to
expect?
Yourself, like we talked about. Like,
yeah,
this is, if you're
like,
you're getting it
you
off your chest.
Like,
right.
Did you tell her to hurt her, or did you tell her to make yourself feel better? Either way, like, you have to deal with the fact that A, you did it, and B, then you told her about it. And like, it just feels like he has done such a 180 from like ignoring her, not wanting to make any effort, to now he's like, I want to fix this, but not your way. Like, only however I want to do it. And now he's like, I don't know, man. It's just, he was obviously like, cheating aside, the way he was handling this, the conflict in general, was just pissing me off. Cause especially like with how he has been handling their marital discourse up to this point. And so I just feel like he is still like only wants to do anything his way, and it just pisses me off so much.
I also am a little bit confused, because when you look at the end resolution of him leaving, like, just spare both of yourself the frustration of having to A, recount it, and then also Christina having to B, sit through it and listen to it and process it, just say, yeah, we're done.
Well, I think her knowing the details helped her make the decision of whether or not she wanted him there and like where she was at with it. I think it was really more about just her processing and figuring out what she, because in my opinion, the ball's in her court. Like, he's done the terrible thing. She gets to decide what's next, in my opinion. And so I think she just wants, like she says later on, she's like, oh, this would be easier if you had like actively fallen in love with someone else and you like wanted to leave me to be with another woman, because it's easy, it's clean, it's like, okay, this is what it is, we're moving on. But now it's like, what do we do? We're in this weird situation. Like, you made this terrible choice. Why did you do that? What are we, are you going to do it again? Like, what was the point? So
I know that's like the last scene, but I really need your help understanding like what your take is on this, because when he, so they get to the resolution, which kind of comes from, she goes to the bathroom. Hold on, I need to back this up. Okay. This is all so fucking dumb. He sucks. Yeah. She's sitting there crying. He goes and like lays with her in the bed to like comfort her. She clearly does not want it. She runs away. She goes into the bathroom. She locked herself in the bathroom. He says he's going to kick the door down because he needs, like, he thinks that she's hurting herself or something, which is like, I'm not going to try to put myself into a situation like that mentally, but
yeah.
Christina has not given us any indication to think that that's the kind of person that she is. Not that anyone that would show those kind of signs, like, right? But he goes to kick the door down. She opens the door. She dies laughing at him. And she says, I'm crying over a boy and I should be studying for my boards. Like, this is so stupid. And that's the kind of realization point. But when he goes at the end and he says, I'll always be in love with you. You're the love of my life. I'll never love another woman. And then she just says, you don't even remember her name.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to read that. And then after that, he says, you take care of yourself.
So
I don't really know how to read that.
What she's saying, he's like, I love you. So like, I'll never love anyone else, which like, all right, fucking calm down. But she's like, if that's true, like you broke our marriage for someone whose name you don't even remember. Like, that's how much this person meant so little to you that you don't even remember their name. And you're going to stand here and be like, you're the love of my life. I'll never stop loving you, but I will sleep with someone whose name I will immediately forget. That's my read on it.
Okay. That is helpful. That's a great, I didn't think of it like that. Also, the scene where they show the actual like starting of the cheating with the kiss. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I hate it all. Yeah. I'm married, so I'm drunk, so kiss me.
It's still Owen's fault.
They both suck.
Yeah, that's true, but it's more Owen's fault.
I think that the fact that when he, it would have been more his fault if he never told her that she was married. Once he said that he was married and then she said so and then still makes him kiss her.
He doesn't. First of all, she doesn't make him kiss her.
All right. First
she
off,
she continues to invite him to kiss her.
That is seduction.
I agree, but I don't. Again, we've talked about this before. He has,
it wasn't a gun to his head.
One person has made vows to Christina, and it is not unnamed curly-headed lady. It is only Owen.
I think that okay, that's fair. That, keeping that in mind and considering the fact that he did tell her that he was married, shifts the blame from 50-50 to 51-49.
I disagree. She does have a questionable moral compass, but it's not on her to save someone else's marriage. Here's the thing. If he would have slept with her, he would have slept with anyone. That's my take on it. So it doesn't matter that she also is not a great person. It's still his fault.
Yeah, it's not fun either way. It's all terrible.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about this. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, where it's like the conversation of is falling in love with someone worse? Is just sex worse? Which one is forgivable? Which one isn't? I think none of it's forgivable, but I am saying that now from a point of privilege where I'm hopeful that Jessica's never cheated on me. Because I can guarantee that I have. Oh my gosh.
Kidding. No, I just think it's one of those things where you can say prior to, it's easier to say before you're in the situation. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to know in that situation what you would do. But it's easy to say like, oh, this is how I think I would act, or this is how I think I would feel.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors and we'll finish up this storyline in just a moment.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time on a fancy water bottle.
With ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water. But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
And we are back. You getting some Tums there?
Yep. My current state of pregnancy is I have downstairs Tums and upstairs Tums. Because I have heartburn non-fucking-stop. It's so annoying.
So
no matter what I eat, it does not matter. So it's constantly having heartburn.
What was I was going to say, oh, the part that really pisses me off, and I definitely want, I need your take on this as the resident Christina fan club queen. It basically comes to the head where he's like, I was hurting, I was alone, blah, blah, blah. And it comes out that he did this to hurt her. Whether or not that's actually what was going on, he doesn't deny it. I think that we're led to believe that that's the actual reason. He does it to hurt her, and he's spiteful. What was your take on all that? Like, what were your thoughts? Because I'm like, man, there are just so many other things you could do to spite someone.
Well, the issue is when you're married to someone, unfortunately, you have to not make everything a one for one. Which is much easier said than done. Like, sometimes the other person is going to do something shitty and you can't just keep score and like be like, well, now I owe them something shitty. Like, you have to just be like, well, okay, I'm gonna be mad about it and then we'll talk about it and then we'll move on. But knowing that, like, oh, you're this type of person who's going to actively try and hurt me, like, anytime that I've pissed you off, I'm like, that's not a good person to be with.
Yeah, it's not tit for tat. And it's also not like when you think of the compassion and the rage and the forgiveness and all that stuff, like at that point, just if this was so unforgivable and you were so willing to do something that hurtful back, just get a divorce and then go have sex with whoever you want.
But here's what also pisses me off about Owen in this episode, in this story. It makes me feel like he wants to put it on her to like end the marriage, even though he is the one that did the terrible thing. He doesn't want to say, let's, even though This also pissed me off because like 3 episodes ago, he said he was moving out. He didn't. She tries to kick him out in this episode and he says no. And I'm like, bitch, you already said you were moving out. Why are you changing your mind now? Just to be a dick?
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it just feels like he doesn't want to be the, like, he is like, I'll let you decide what we do. Because I don't want to be the one that breaks up with you. I want to be able to tell people like, oh, Christina left me. Bitch.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be the victim. You're the problem.
Yeah, we've you know, it's not the first time we've experienced someone creating an infidelity scenario and then trying to force the other person to break up with them. We've heard this before.
It's not uncommon in the world.
In the world, yeah. But I will say nothing really hits you in the gut like that scene where they do kiss and then it pans immediately to Christina just wailing.
Sobbing hysterically, yeah. Which a lot of times when Christina cries, it's like silent tears. We don't have this big like sobbing situation that often. Like there's the iconic episode in season 2 when she's like, somebody sedate me. And then there's when Burke leaves her and she's in the wedding dress. But most of the time when she cries, it's just like very silent. So it does hit very differently when you hear her. And then he like goes to comfort her. She for a second lets him and then is like, you know what? Fuck you. You're the problem.
Right. Right. I'm really glad that the story did not end with her capitulating to that man and just saying, all right, you're right. Thanks for the apology. I've worked through it. It was just sex. You're right. We're good.
Yeah.
I'm really,
the thing is,
really
I'm
glad.
Like, I do believe it was just sex. But there's just so much else also in their relationship that's already a problem. And also Owen already sucks. This is just the icing on top of the cake.
Yeah.
He's just a fucking asshat.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I don't like him.
And on top of all this, like so Mark is the acting chief and he didn't even tell Mark to be the acting chief.
So funny.
Let's talk about that storyline.
Yeah. So because they take the day off, obviously they need someone to stand in as chief. And so,
which like, do they? They don't work 7 days a week.
I know. I don't know, man. I don't know how it works. But so Mark has somehow finagled his way into having this title for the day.
And it comes with a Bluetooth earpiece.
And a suit. What were your thoughts when he walked in and he was like, I'm the chief today?
I thought that Owen straight up quit. And his final act as chief just made Mark the chief. So, but I didn't think
psychotic behavior.
Yeah. I love that end scene, not because of Owen. I love that end scene where he's on the top of the roof, he's golfing, and Derek's like, I want to join you. And he's like, yeah, like, hey, Mark wasn't too bad today as the chief. And Owen's like, what?
Why was Mark the chief?
And Derek looks at him like he's gonna be mad at first, and he's like, oh, Mark, rascal, that it's, rascal.
It's so on brand though for Mark.
So why would he have communicated to Mark about
that's
Derek?
My, I'm
or
like,
whoever?
I don't think that he did. I'm like, did Mark just like interfere in the, like, he intercepted the message? He was like, I'll take care of this from like one person to another. Or I don't know, but this is amusing to me. So he starts the day, excuse me, with a staff meeting with pastries, which, respect.
Absolutely.
I restart the day with pastries.
What was it, Bailey, that said who increased our donut budget or something like that?
Yeah. And then he's got Jackson running around like his secretary, and Jackson's displeased about it. And he is like, honestly, with the, because there's two instances where it matters that Mark is chief, basically. a surgery he is supposed to be doing with Ben and Derek, and a surgery that he is not supposed to be in doing with Meredith, Richard, and Miranda. And the one with Derek and Ben, they want to postpone the surgery because this man has just had spinal surgery, and they're like, oh, if we put him in this position for too long, it can like fuck up the spinal surgery, which is a fair issue. But then Mark's point is, well, he has these other issues arising that if we don't address can turn into infections and sepsis and could kill him. So we still need to do the surgery. So figure it out. But he's not a dick about it. I find these storylines to be very separate because I don't think he's doing a good job on the Weber, Bailey, Meredith side, but I do think he does a good job on the Derek and Ben side. But it's like, if this was not Mark, you'd be like, wow, that's like a really good leader. Like this guy's do, but like the context of who Mark is as a person and like his history and friendship with Derek, you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. So they're in that, rise. I guess the he goes full on Emperor Palpatine and just goes, rise.
Yeah.
Rise to the occasion. Find your way to excel.
Find a solution.
All I know is there's going to be a surgery at 3 p.m. with or without you. So rise.
Yeah. I think the way he says it is like not rude. He's not like, figure out a way to do the surgery, blah, blah. He like presents the issues that need to be addressed as to why they have to do the surgery. And he's like, we have to just find a solve.
So he's very leaderly about it for sure.
Yeah. Which it's just funny because I'm like, if you take the mark of it out, you're like, oh, that's a good leader. But you're like knowing like two episodes ago, he's trying to bully April into sleeping with Jackson. You're just like, what is happening? And on the flip side, then Meredith, Richard and Miranda have a patient who has it's the classic like, oh, we've been on the transplant list and we've, you know, gone in multiple times and it's fallen through at the last minute for organ transplant. But this man needs like 1200, like an entire new abdomen, basically.
They made a charcuterie board with this man's organs and lowered the skateboard into this guy's abdominal cavity. It was connected at once. Was like, I had to watch that scene four times to even understand what they were trying to do.
So it was small intestine, large intestine, pancreas, liver. Was there anything else?
Heart, lung, spleen.
No, it wasn't that.
Kidneys, penis. Gonads.
Liver. I don't even know. It doesn't list them all on this, but
everything that is negatively impacted by short gut syndrome. Yeah.
Here's also where I'm confused. I'm like, why did you tell this man he's going to surgery before you get the scans for the donor?
Right.
You do the scans first to make sure the donor isn't compromised.
Right.
So they do the scans for the donor. They see a spot on the liver. They're like, might be a tumor, might be benign. We don't know. We need to like biopsy it. And Mark is like, no, don't do that. That's stupid. And I'm like, Mark, I already disagree with you. Like, what's the harm in biopsying it? If it proves that it's benign, then what's the issue?
Yeah. I also have a hard time with that too, is like, this guy's dying in the morning no matter what.
Yeah, that was my other thing, is I'm like, he's gonna die regardless, Mark. Get off your high horse.
Yeah. Neil did not look well. He looked like a minion.
Could not have been more yellow.
Yes.
This man was a human highlighter.
Yeah, it
I actually was like, how are they doing this? Like, how long did this man spend in makeup?
A long time. Yeah, it was rough. And that's the biggest beef I have with that particular storyline is like,
yeah,
Mark, he's like, this guy even said he's not gonna he went full Lord of the Rings. He said, I won't last through the night.
Yeah,
I can't make it through the night. Truly. Until the Riders of Rohan appear on the fourth day, whatever it was. I don't know.
I am Helms, man. I think I might get that tattooed on me at some point.
That'd be sick.
It's a fucking badass line.
Yeah.
Badass moment. Anyways.
So, when I'm like, dude, he's gonna die.
Before, he has like no faith that it's gonna come through, and then it doesn't. And then, you know, Weber's like, I'm doing it anyways also because fuck Mark, which is technically wrong, but also very correct. So
wait, also Neil was awake on the table when Mark walked in and he's like, you're not doing the surgery. And he goes, I told you so. I knew that this man would walk in the room and say no to my organs.
Well, it's because they hadn't harvested the other ones yet, so he didn't need to be under yet.
No, I'm just saying it's funny that Mark came in and yelled while Neil was just like looking up at him. Yeah. Poor yellow man is just like on a table and Mark says no.
Quite literal hours to live. And Mark's like, quick, put him on the transplant list, bitch.
Yeah.
I will say Bailey being like, are you questioning Dr. Weber? I'm like, okay, I disagree with Mark, but if he actually has the title of chief in this scenario, which as far as we know at this point he does, I'm like, okay, Miranda, I do agree with you and I do disagree with Mark, but like, I don't think you can just be like, oh, Weber's been doing this longer.
Yeah, or only because this interim title is for just today. It's not an actual real thing, and I don't. You've no authority. That's a bit egregious too. Miranda has become.
Because I'm like, if there is a fall, like if there is something that goes wrong, it does have to come down on somebody.
Right. Yeah, it is overall very, very interesting.
But I did love, so then when he runs in and tries to stop Richard from doing it, I love what Richard says to him. So I have this pulled up because I want to read it because I think it is very well said and makes the point very clear. And Mark understands where he's coming from because of the way that he says this. So this is when Mark goes in to stop Richard from doing this, and Richard has already pulled the spot out and it's a benign cyst or something. Like it doesn't negatively impact the organs or the donation. So Richard says, you're a good doctor and you may one day make a great chief of surgery, but you're a plastic surgeon, Chief Sloan. You're a perfectionist and you want everything by the rules so it'll end up pretty. Well, I don't need pretty and I don't need perfect. What I need is for this to work. And what's going to make it work is for me to take out that tumor and put these healthy organs inside my very sick patient. It won't be pretty, but it will work and it will keep my patient alive. Stand down, Chief Sloan. Stand down. So, and Mark doesn't argue with him or fight back. So I think he gets it and he's like, okay, that makes sense. Again, this man is going to die if he doesn't get these organs.
Yeah,
and it's not like he'll die in a couple months. It's like he'll die in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It he could be dead before I even harvest these organs. Truly, like quite frankly,
if he lives through the surgery, it'll be a win.
So Mark gets like a free learning lesson from Richard in all of this too.
Yeah,
which is really cool. But it ended up being a benign adenoma, which is what it was. The funny scene leading up to that was Mark is putting it together and April is an accomplice. So he goes, hey, Dr. Kepner, how long does it take to do a routine appendectomy? And she kind of like starts to falter and podcast burp. You're thinking there initially like, okay, she's answering it like the boards. And he even calls it out. He says, well, don't answer it like the boards. Give it to me real life. Tell me. And she says an hour, 15 minutes or something like that. And he goes, okay, well then why is Weber scheduling an appendectomy for 8 hours? Walk me through that. So Weber went rogue. He also, in one of the scenes, I don't have the situation, I don't remember exactly, but when Mark says, are you arguing with the decision of the chief of surgery? It's a bit heavy-handed, Mark. A bit heavy-handed for someone who's in this position for
Miranda,
a day.
And I'm like, all right, you also need to calm down. Like, everybody needs to calm down.
Everyone's just drunk on power over here.
Everyone, just put your dicks away. Stop measuring them. Just, it's done.
Yeah.
We're here. This is what we have to work with for the day.
It's true. So He lives. He goes, I'm alive. And Meredith goes, I'm afraid so, Neil, you rat bastard. But then he starts to get sad. Like, no one came. Well,
yeah. he was like, ugh, I always make them come and I always just feel so bad because I always never get the surgery. And I'm like, well, but you could at least tell them.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I can't believe no one came. This is a behavior that makes me mad. Don't tell me to do something if you want me to do something else.
Correct. And then
happily be there for you if you want me there, but don't be like, it's okay if you can't make it. I'm like, okay, because I probably can't, but I'll make it work if I need to. But like, don't play it off like it's not a big deal if I'm not there, and then wake up and be like, wow, no one loves me. Again, don't put yourself in the situation to be a victim.
Yeah. Also, good on Meredith, because as soon as he starts to panic and he's getting all sad, she's like, well, let's call that motherfucker. Let's do this.
Yeah. She's like, well, let's just call them and tell them to come. And he's like, oh, okay. A solution to the problem. What a concept.
I haven't thought of such an insane idea, Dr. Gray.
I assumed I would die and wouldn't have to deal with this. So now that I'm here, what should I do?
Oh, so, goodness.
Yeah, that one was. So, like, the title of the episode is Support System. So, obviously, the whole thing with Neil is, like, his support system.
He ain't got one.
But he does. He just doesn't include them. That's where I'm like, bro, this is on you. I don't, like.
It's all the yellowness went to his brain. He couldn't think.
Probably. And then I just felt. There have been episodes where there's so many people there for patients. And I'm like, I felt like they could have used one patient that had like a really strong support system as like a juxtaposition to this one where Neil is alone. Or show us everyone when they get there later. I don't know.
Well, it's okay because everyone in this episode lives. It's a happy
episode. I did notice that as well. The Derek and Ben's patient, so he had the spinal fusion, which is why they didn't want to do the surgery, because they're like, well, if he is on the table too long, it can mess up his spinal fusion and this, that, and the other. And Mark's like, rise, figure it out. And Derek's like, let's put a beanbag under his ass. So.
Well, at first also, he says something else. He says
foam, like memory foam, basically like a mattress.
Yeah, I envision more like a pool noodle. Wrap this dude in a pool noodle.
Bubble him up.
Yep.
So he's there with his wife, I believe. And he has like, he had essentially arthritis from a very young age that caused his jaw to fuse together and parts of his spine. So they had to like go in and fix the spine first, which now I'm like, but why didn't you just fix the spine second or do it all at the same time? Whatever, I'm not a doctor.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that. That's a great question.
They clearly knew they were also going to have to fix his jaw. He hasn't eaten solid food in 8 months, which sounds like a fucking nightmare. When my grandfather was in the ICU, they had him on a feeding tube. And then they know how many calories you get when you're on a feeding tube, but you're still not consuming food. So it's like just a really weird thing for your body to process. And then he was just like, all I want is fruit and oatmeal. And I'm like, that's so like, if I were you, I would be like, give me a steak. Give me
a milkshake.
I was
going to say steak. Yeah.
Give me the all you can eat sushi.
Hell
like,
yeah.
I want absolutely everything. And he's like, oh, I would like a fruit platter. And I was like, that's crazy.
I love the fruit platter. I love the vegetable platter. We actually had some vegetable platter with some grilled cheese and tomato soup tonight for dinner.
Classic.
And I will say this is Kelsey's fault, but the entire time I'm eating dinner, I'm like, you're not sushi.
Yeah, because I texted Carmen earlier and I was like, I would murder somebody for sushi right now.
So I actually this almost happened. I was talking to Jessica on the phone and I'm sitting there in like a legit typhoon walking to Union Station today. Just like people's umbrellas are completely collapsing. It's just terrible. And I'm on my little AirPods in my hood. And I go, I've eaten today is a Pop-Tart and a protein bar. And she's like, all right, well, do you like want to go out for dinner? And I said, yes. How about all you can eat sushi? And she goes, anything but sushi. And I was like, well, the only thing I want is sushi. So
wow, Jessica.
I know.
She did that in solidarity with me.
Well,
yeah, so.
Oh, yeah, you can't have sushi right now.
I know.
That's why you texted me about the sushi, because you can't have it. Okay.
Correct.
Because of the baby.
This is also like the third time in this pregnancy that I've texted you about wanting sushi because I can't have it.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, the last time that you were at our house, when was the last time? Man, you guys are due for a trip up here. The last time you were here was when you were pregnant with Bennett.
Yeah.
Like, just found out.
No, because I came up a year ago. I came up in March because we recorded stuff.
We took our pictures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that was a work trip.
But we still ate sushi.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's the trip that led to my downfall.
I know. Good times.
The end is nigh. If you're listening,
join Patreon.
they definitely won't like those.
So yeah,
I talked about jacking off in public.
Like, but you didn't curse.
I fucking masturbated. Jacking off is like a way. I like that's one of those words where, as an adult, like, you don't just say jacking off. It's like you masturbated, or you produced a specimen. Like,
there's a lot of sexual phrases that I don't have any issues with the act, but I hate the phrasing.
I feel so weird. So, like, okay, as a teenage adolescent with also a bit of a potty mouth, like, dick, pussy, tits, just like common words.
Yeah.
I say these words now, and I'm like, I say them ironically or comedically. I don't just refer, like, it is my penis. It's not my dick.
Your cock.
My cock. That was,
I'm like, that's a rooster. Calm down.
Or like,
I was actually thinking, like, all the hot dog places that, like, make wiener jokes.
Mm.
Like, oh, everyone wants our wieners. I'm like, now I don't want to go there.
I would want to go there more, but that's just me. Or like the word, it's not a pussy, it is a vagina. Okay.
Yeah.
And we exclusively grab them by their vaginas. Okay.
Okay. One day someone's gonna take all of these clips out of context and you're gonna be screwed.
I hope they do. Because you know what? There's a certain demographic that's gonna vote me as a president.
That's so true.
I'm not old enough yet. I'll be old enough to run for president for the next cycle.
Yes, you will be.
I'm going to do it.
I mean, why not?
I'm going to start my campaign.
It does cost a lot of money to run for president, though.
Well, not my money. I just need a big corporation to support right. me.
I just need Daddy Elon.
I need Daddy Jeff or Daddy Tim to support me. Or
Where's MySpace Tom?
Oh,
who's he supporting?
Oh, he would.
I'll take
he was,
him. He can he have. He should be a good backing person.
Yeah, I bet he supported Kamala.
I like to think so.
Yeah, that's my truth.
Oh, MySpace. Good times.
So
what? Jason. Let me get back to this.
Jason Cooper.
Yeah, we're getting back to Jason. They put him on a beanbag and they fix his mouth. They have to, like, break his jaw and then use hinges, like metal hinges, to put it back together because his bones have fused together, which sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
But at the end of the episode, he gets to eat. So hurrah. I love that for him. I hope he eats just so much
steak
garbage.
Steak and sushi, or
literally,
you know,
everything
vegan
he's
turf.
Ever wanted.
Yeah.
Surf yeah. and turf it up, Jason.
Surf and turf. And when Mark goes, "You rose. I'm a fantastic leader." And Ben hits him with the "All hail Chief Mark" or something, like, whatever.
Well, at the beginning, Ben's like, "You taking orders from Sloane now?" And I'm like, "Yes, Ben, as are you,
as
because
chief.
He's in charge today." Like, I understand it's Mark and it's a joke, but he's in charge as far as you know. You have to listen to him.
Yeah, that it's times like that that here's the thing, like, in these corporate structures. Yeah, sure. You don't have to listen to these people, but you're going to have to deal with the consequences of it.
Yeah.
Insubordination is a thing you can be held accountable to.
Yep. So true. Also, again, it's medicine. There are lives on the line. If something happens, someone's name is on it. Someone has to be able to be like, take responsibility for choices. So.
Correct.
Anyways, Owen still sucks, but he's just not there. So someone else has to do it. I don't know.
Honestly, Chief Mark was fine. I think Mark did a great job.
Honestly, I felt like we were in very different eras of Chief Mark, because Chief Mark to Derek, great. Chief Mark to Richard, I'll say medium, because he does learn and he doesn't fight back at the end of the day.
He goes through an arc with that one, you know. He's less arc with the Derek thing and more arc with the Richard thing.
This was also very you when he's like, why would you not name this beef with the chief?
I love that.
People beef would come with to the that. Chief. Beef with the chief. You got a beef? Come talk to the chief.
I love that, minus the fact that it's like, dizzy, like you want to fight. You want to fight.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. I'm like, I see Mark, where your head's at, like marketing, branding. I'm right there with you. Let's think of something catchy. We can do better than beef with the chief.
Yeah. Also, chief, I love
chats. Chat with the chief.
Yeah. I do like. Works. I do like that he named it after the famous rapper, though. Chief Beef.
Who?
Chief Beef.
It's not a person.
No, it's Chief Keef. I was making
Mustard.
A joke.
Mustard. DJ Mustard.
Colonel Mustard.
No, DJ Mustard. DJ Mustard was at the Super Bowl halftime show with Kendrick.
Really? That's a person?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, I didn't know.
Yes, I also learned it that day, because I said, who is this person performing but not saying any words? Then I looked it up, and it was DJ Mustard.
Who, which Williams sister was there? Serena. Yeah. What an angel. All right. I think I love these storylines. We have a lot more to talk about, but is there anything else we want to finish up with this storyline here and Mark?
I don't think so, other than, again, I just hate it when they're on the roof hitting golf balls. I literally, my note says Owen is hitting golf balls off of the roof, parentheses murder, and Derek comes up, because I'm like, you're killing, like, I just, you're murder, there's no way you're not killing somebody every time you do that. There's no way.
Yeah, that I don't understand. Also, it's been a long time since I've been to a driving range.
Same, because I've never been to one.
Oh.
I think I went to one and didn't hit the golf ball. Like, I think I went and Michael did, and I don't know what I was doing, but I was there. But I do love Top Golf. Top Golf is fun.
Just to go? No, like, not golf?
I hit the golf balls.
That's a
Top
driving
golf.
Range.
No, it's not.
Yes,
it's like
it is.
An arcade for golf.
It's a driving range.
No, it's not.
It's an arcade. The whole point. Okay.
Driving ranges are real, and Top Golf is not.
Okay. Anyways, on
right.
that
we'll
note,
be right back with the second half of this episode.